So he's our, is the proper word, chief of staff, is that okay? Now don't walk out. I want Dr. Price to just say a word. Would you say just 2 minutes something? This is the chairman of all this now. And you can be impressed with what he's gotten done since he took over.
First, I think I should begin by congratulating Dr. Mortensen and that he's kept me alive for about 30 years, which was in itself a major achievement. He was doctor to Walter Meyer and to Dr. Behnken and to Dr. Harms, and most of them have now passed on, but there are still one or two of us left. And when anything goes wrong with Dr. Mortensen's health, well, of course, we're all gone. But I really have gotten a tremendous joy out of the association with Dr. Mortensen, and now with Jack, I can't say that name, I've had this stroke, Jack Fraser, one of the great men of the 20th century. But it has been a great pleasure to work with him. I want to tell one more horror story, because Fred doesn't have all of them. I was in Chicago, I think it was the day before yesterday, in a meeting designed to gather medicine, which is basically what this committee is doing, and which we hope you fellas will be party to in one way or another. And there was a lady there who was born in Latvia and has made two or three trips back to Latvia. She is a card-carrying Lutheran from the Chicago area, and she said that in the 2 months of June and July in the city of Leningrad, a city of 7 million people, the second largest city in Russia, there has not been one single baby born in the hospital situation there, because they're either aborted or they are destroyed by parents who simply say, we have given up. There is no hope for this mess we're in, and there's no reason in the world to bring a poor innocent child into this world and let him or her perish. I wouldn't have believed that if I hadn't heard it with my own ears from this very pious and godly woman who was expressing who had been there and was expressing what was going on. So I don't know everything that Dr. Mortensen has said, although I have examined virtually every word the references he makes to pieces of literature. I've read all of them, and I believe that he is absolutely correct in the presentation of the factuality of what is going on over there. And it seems to me that there's not been an opportunity in the life, certainly in my lifetime. I was born about 3 years after the communists took over in Russia. And all my life, and every older person in this room, every one of us, has lived under the shadow of international communism with everything that's been said. No hope, no deliverance, no nothing. And by the grace of God and the deliverance of the holy angels, this thing has been brought about, this change. No American politician really saw it. No European politician saw it. The churches, by and large, contributed less than nothing, except, as been mentioned, the Eastern Orthodox, who are still suffering from an enormous identity problem. Who are we, and what are we here for, and what are we trying to accomplish? And I think the Lutheran churches have really been given a glorious opportunity here to do something that young guys like you can dream about, that old jiggers like us could never dream about, because we didn't believe anything would ever happen except more of the same. And by God's grace, it did change. So I hope that many more of you will participate in the various things that are going on. And I want to speak of my dear friend, Mr. Fraser, who was a very important executive with Ralston Purina, who has retired and now, as you might say, re-entered the army of the gloriously unemployed to help in this project. And he and I are absolutely, we got Doc Mortensen to keep us alive and Jack Fraser to help us move things along. And before we're done with this, every professor and every faculty member and every student, and I pray God, every lay person in our synod and every other church will be participating in this wonderful experience that we're having. That was a very short 2-minute speech. I thank you very much for it.
I haven't really filled you in on what we're doing. Dr. Price mentioned that we have formed a... We're just in the formation stage, so if any of you have good ideas, by the way, give them to us. We need them. We ask everybody, give us ideas. This is all new to us, too. But we have the grain train. Maybe some of you have heard of that, has joined us to bring food. And we're raising medications. The publishing house has already joined us with literature. And we're mobilizing everybody. Dr. Johnson tells me they will, in the future, take students here. Gene Kranz, the president of River Forest, who was on the trip with us, has already interviewed people in Siberia when we were there to bring them to River Forest for teacher training. So all kinds of things are happening. Now, Jack Fraser, would you like to say a word?
You said it well.
Well, why don't I ask the dumb question, are there any questions? And I want to remind all of you, by the way, that there is an authority on what I'm speaking about sitting right over there. So when you want to really get information about that part of the world, Dr. G is an expert. All of the Russian republics, Russian is the only language spoken everywhere. Otherwise, there are, you know, 100 languages. It's really quite confusing. In Kazakhstan, Kazakh is the language of most people, but they also all speak Russian. Follow that? In all the Islamic countries, they all speak Russian, but they have their own language that they use. If that makes sense. It's like the Germans. They all speak Russian, but they speak German to them, to each other. If that makes sense. In Russia. Yeah, much higher than the United States. It's sort of a shock to be used to the United States. I never found an illiterate person on my entire trip. I see many a day today in this society. Well, the reason I mention Mongolia, Western China, and that part of the world is that's what the communists told us. These people are just like we are. They're in the same boat we're in. And they encouraged us. And I've asked Dr. G, was an authority, and I was surprised by his answer. He immediately said, you're right. That is exactly true. These are different parts of the world than the parts we normally speak of. The other side of China is a different place, according to the communists. These people are like we are, and they're cut off from the world, just as Mongolia is. They're not really part of the, you know, the communist Eastern Europe, that's a different part of the world to them. They incidentally reject Europeans very violently. They do not agree with their whole philosophy of life. It was interesting. Very favorable to America because of our government and our way of doing things. They're very impressed with us. They're very impressed with Germany, if you're interested. Germany is the only country in Europe that has done anything to help them, sending food, etc.
Well, there's a question over here, somebody. Any more questions? If not, all right.
I just wonder about those populations that are segregated.
You're embarrassing me. I don't know, but I'll look it up. I never get around to looking that up. I think it's 50 million, though. Kazakhstan is 17 million. Western China, I couldn't even guess. Hundreds of millions. Mongolia is 5 million, I think. But Siberia, I am just not sure. But it's a lot bigger than you think it is. You know, it's not as minute a population as many people think. There are several large cities and large areas. I'll look it up and find out. Yes?
What's the biggest need right now that you see as far as getting things going?
In that area? Well, I certainly don't mind to be criticized what I say, because we're all learning. I keep emphasizing we're learning. I would say the most important thing we could do, in my own opinion, talking to a lot of Russian officials over there, if we could show these people that we as Christians love them, and are concerned about what happens to them and want them to enjoy Christianity or the gospel like we do, I think they would agree with us. Now, what does that mean, their needs? I would say their biggest need is food, immediate need. Second biggest biggest need is to have businessmen help them to develop an economy. They have none. That's incidentally one of the ideas we have. Maybe later we would send businessmen over to help them, just as I plan to try and get doctors recruited to go over and teach them medicine. I've already had no no's, if you can believe that, from a lot of doctors I've spoken to. But I haven't had a no from a businessman that I've discussed this with yet either. But the point is to show them Christian love, what it means, help them, and naturally bring them the gospel. That's our plan. Yes?
You hear a lot about underground churches in the European kind of area. Were there those kind of things?
In Europe? I'm not an authority on Europe, but I'm under the illusion. Yes, it's true, but I'm not up on that. Anybody here who's an expert on that? I'm not up on Eastern Europe, if you're asking that. Oh, in Siberia, yes. All the churches I'm talking about that we visited were underground churches. They were illegal. Yes. All churches were illegal under Stalin. He outlawed all religion except the Russian Orthodox, and as the Russians themselves make the statement over and over again, the reason is they cooperated with the communists. So the Russian people have very little respect for them. Does that answer your question? Yeah, they were underground without question. Yes?
I was just wondering how we can keep in touch with what's going on. I suppose we'll hear about it in various things like Jews and layman.
You mean with what we are doing?
Yeah.
Well, maybe Dr. Price will come over and give them a lecture once in a while.
One thing we're doing is that tomorrow, Ted Fraser is going down and having a special interview with the Lutheran Witness. We had yesterday a meeting with the St. Louis Lutheran and some of the locals. It's amazing that anything if in a world that supposedly operates only on PR, we've been able to get a phone call done without any PR. And we're hopeful that now that'll change thanks to guys like you and talking it up even in your student journals and so on, because I think it's a matter of a few weeks when these guys come back from Siberia that just left yesterday, you're going to have it all over the place. This is only a very momentary situation. You'll be drowning in it, I hope, within a very short time.
Yes.
What is it that you would like of us, the seminary, or what can we do as seminarians or as pastors when we get out in the field to help with this?
Well, let me just start by saying two of the pastors that went with myself to Siberia got so worked up that one of them is going to go to Kazakhstan and stay and start a mission on his own, and another one wants to go to Omsk, one of our people, just to show you what effect it had on them. These are not young fellows, by the way. They're one is 55 or so, and the other one is about, I guess, 50. but just to show you the effect it had. But let me be a little bit strange and answer you, though, truthfully. All of us involved, I think, number one, hope that this will motivate the whole church to say, look what the gospel can do if we really apply it. I think we need that. Not only we, the whole world needs it. So that's number one. And we hope you fellows will help spread the word and help us and become involved. Because I don't have any doubt if we can get this thing rolling the way we want, eventually youth groups would go over, all kinds of people would be going over there. Not to mention, of course, pastors, naturally. Eventually, hopefully, churches will be established. That's the ultimate goal. But, you know, how that will happen, I have no idea. Remember, we're just beginning. We really are quite dumb when you come right down to it. We're dealing with something we don't know what we're doing. We're trying desperately to get everybody involved to help us. So anybody with good ideas, we appreciate them. Oh, yes, yes, there's a lot being done there. That's a whole subject, but I can, instead of giving all the details, why don't I just tell you that is a very active area that's being pursued very strongly. To help, you mean? You know more about that than I do, don't you?
Well, I should just say that I think this question I had not the often in our home a month ago, and he was absolutely unbelievable. The activity that's going on through the American Bible Society and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As you say, this is a whole subject of its own,
right?
Well, they were kind enough to give me the floor. I suggest you try to give a special meeting to Dr. G just to talk about the whole Chinese and Korean end of this thing. This is half the world. And I think that once we get a little bit farther along, it would be wonderful to bring in some of these people who've actually been involved with, like this Latvian woman and some of these other people in the medical, and which any of you guys can do almost and will by talking to your local doctor. They don't have boxes full of this stuff. And we're in the process of getting it organized, getting it shipped off. And so you, in a way, are being very privileged to be at something almost at the very beginning. A year from now, I hope there'll be three times as many here, and about five times as much information and achievement, because it's just started.
We sent out a letter to all congregations in simple language as far as medicine goes that we would suggest that all these people who get involved would use their local congregation as a place to store supplies. And that is really no problem. We'll set up a way to collect those supplies. Jack?
I will say more than two words. My response to what can we do, one of the things that would be most helpful in a meeting would be for each of you to send me a note telling me the names of the Lutheran doctors in your respective home communities. That's a tremendous contact. Marks know a lot of people, but if you would just tell us the names of doctors and you can give us names and addresses, then obviously what we do, we'd contact them to see if they can share with us the drugs that the quote detailed in, quote unquote, give in great quantities to doctors.
Closing word.
Closing word, okay. speaking as a layman, I can get away with this. I believe the Holy Spirit has called all of us to do this. Everyone who's gotten involved, I know the statement I'm about to make sounds far-fetched to you, and I do not expect you to believe it, but I think it's true. We have not contacted a single individual who has looked us in the eye and said, I refuse to cooperate yet. And I think that's most remarkable. And I'm talking about everybody. And we have been running around, or Dr. Price has been running around Synod asking different people to be cooperative. And so far as I know, they're all saying yes. The opportunity is very great, and I think it's wonderful that your seminary with Dr. Johnson feels that they ought to get involved. And we pray that all of you get involved. We need your help.